next.com.
Valley Talk on News Talk 1580 KGAL.
Welcome to KGAL's Valley Talk. Jeff McMahon, your host. Today we are sponsored by our friends at Sully Stay and Play Doggy Daycare. Sully Stay and Play Doggy Daycare is a great spot to take your pet when you're busy and your pet is just sitting there bored at home waiting for you to get there. Or maybe even more than bored, they might be a little destructive or get into things they shouldn't get into, let's put it that way, you know, because they've got nothing to do. Your pooch can instead play with other fun dogs at Sully Stay and Play in a safe, clean, happy environment with pooches that all get along together. They've got a big dog area, small dog area, and they play outside on days like today. When it's not nice outside, they play inside. Sully Stay and Play Doggy Daycare, 410 Pacific Boulevard in Albany. Find them on the web at sullystayandplay.com. Recently, Samaritan Health Services invited media from the local area to come and take a tour of their new facility. The facility is called the Barbara and Larry Mullins Center to recognize donor and former Samaritan Health Services CEO Larry Mullins. Soon to occupy the facility will be Samaritan Treatment and Recovery Services, or STARS. It is a 16-bed residential facility that will serve adults 18 and older with serious substance use disorders throughout Oregon. Priority will be given to patients who live in Lynn, Benton, and Lincoln counties. An outpatient clinic that Samaritan opened back in 2018 will also move over and operate within this facility. Attending this tour were a couple of local newspapers. KVAL Television was there, and of course, KGAL was there. I was on the tour, and our own Charlie Eads was as well. After gathering around the beautiful new facility at 111 North Main Street in Lebanon, we listened to Marty Cahill, the CEO of Samaritan Lebanon Community Hospital, as he gave an opening statement.
I want to welcome you to the media tour for Samaritan Treatment and Recovery Services, located in the Barbara and Larry Mullins Center. I have a few brief remarks, then we're happy to take questions and show you around the facility. This is an initiative several years in the making, and we're excited to be on the cusp of beginning this new treatment for individuals struggling with substance use disorder. This facility was built solely by philanthropy. More than 500 donors supported this project. Dorman Construction, our contractor, provided a discount for their services, and they are sponsoring our opening ceremony when we are able to hold it. The City of Lebanon generously waived the permitting fees for this project, and the boards of commissioners for Benton and Lynn counties made substantial contributions towards the project cost. I want to thank the Albany General Hospital Foundation, Good Samaritan Hospital Foundation, and Lebanon Community Hospital Foundation for leading and contributing to the successful $4 million capital campaign to make this facility possible. We're excited to showcase our donor wall, honoring every donor who contributed $1,000 or more towards this facility. We continue to welcome any gifts towards program operations. You can visit samhealth.org/LCHF to learn more. Thank you all for being here today. It's a pleasure to show you the facility. It wouldn't have happened without the gracious contributions of the community. So thank you all for being here today. Let's take a look at the building.
After Samaritan Lebanon Community Hospital's CEO, Marty Cahill, finished his opening statement, we all filed in to the beautiful new STARS facility. And Kelly Story, the Director of Substance Abuse Inpatient Rehabilitation, took us on the tour.
So we're going to take you upstairs. We're going to walk you through the wings. We'll walk you through both wings. Then we're going to come downstairs, show you the rest of the residential area downstairs, and we'll end with the outpatient area. Okay?
At this point, we all walked up a very nice staircase and ended up at the library.
So this is our library area. Everybody will have access to this. I could open that, it's not important. There's secure storage where people can put their belongings, belongings that staff will have access to that door, but they can have their belongings that we don't have to keep secure, but they really don't want to keep in their rooms. And so we'll have recovery books, recovery materials there, but also just things to keep them busy, puzzles, other materials, so they have things to do besides get in trouble when they're, you know, when they have some free time.
When do you expect your first client?
I think Marty will address that later.
Okay, good.
We are starting a wait list. So this is our women's wing. It is called the Hope Wing, and I'm really happy about that. So each area has its own living room. We have one ADA room in each wing.
ADA room.
For people who have a disability, who need extra, basically for people who need, you know, who have a disability. So it's fully equipped, bathroom's fully equipped, and we don't have bedspreads and everything else yet, but that stuff is coming. So you can go ahead and just look at the rooms. We have another single room, the rest are doubles. If you want to go ahead down the hallway, I don't want to get in your way.
So how many rooms for women up here?
There are 6 rooms, 8 beds on each side. 16 beds.
So is there a restroom up here for the, or are they in the rooms?
Each room has its own bathroom. I know, right?
I missed that part.
Yeah, each room has its own bathroom. This is where staff will be. In the evenings after we finish our treatment activities for the day, staff will be up here. Each gender will be able to, they'll only be able to badge in, they'll have badges. They'll be able to badge into their own wing, and they'll only be able to badge into their own rooms.
Nice.
Yeah. We'll see how long it takes people to get around that. This is the men's wing. It's called the Haven Wing.
We had 2 years to design it. I'm sure we'll look at this. I'm sure you'll have a point next week about how you can get it.
This is their living area. We have a couple of couches in here. They have more sitting space than the women do. It's the same amount of seating, but larger.
So that 16 beds is total men's and women's
wings? Yeah. Right now, that's all they'll let us do until if Oregon can put the waiver through, if the feds approve the waivers for more beds, but right now we're only allowed to have 16.
8 in each wing?
Yeah.
So there's 3 double rooms and 2 singles in each wing?
Yes, and one of the singles is an ADA room.
Each wing is ADA.
Yes, yeah. Ready to go downstairs? Okay.
So at this point in the tour, you can tell that we are all heading back downstairs to see more of the facility. This is a good chance for me to remind you that you're listening to a radio tour of the Samaritan Treatment and Recovery Services brand new facility, the Barbara and Larry Mullins Center. It's located at 111 North Main Street in Lebanon, in the location that formerly housed Teen Challenge. It's a 16-bed facility that will serve adults 18 and older with serious substance use disorders throughout Oregon, with priority given to patients who live in Lynn, Benton, and Lincoln counties. Kelly Story, the Director of Substance Abuse Inpatient Rehabilitation, is guiding the tour. With us on the tour were representatives from a couple of local newspapers, KVAL Television in Eugene, and representing KGAL, Charlie Eads and Jeff McMahon.
So this is our nurse's exam room. This is where we'll be doing our first intakes for when people come in to residential treatment. You can go ahead and go in there if you want. It's actually kind of 2 rooms. You want to take a look at it? Go ahead.
That's the only real medical facility in the building?
Yeah. Ian, do you want to open the laundry room? I believe the washers and dryers have been... So there's a laundry area. They will have access to do their own laundry. I'll have a schedule, so the men and women do it at different times.
So Kelly, we were wondering about the laundry. Do clients do their personal laundry there, or do they also launder their own linens? Is that part
they do
of their
personal
program?
Laundry there. Okay. Upstairs, there are two closets: one for clean laundry, one for their soiled linens.
Okay.
So the hospital will do the linens and anything, unless there's an emergency, and of course, then we will staff will do linens if there's an emergency, at night or something.
Yeah. Okay.
So this is a small room where we'll be meeting family, or if somebody just needs to have a quiet spot, or one of the staff needs to meet with somebody quietly, and we don't want to do it in an office. This is our staff conference room.
This is where Marty's going to make his speech and answer questions.
Hey, that's a good idea. Marty?
Yes.
Come on in.
Yes.
They would like you to come in here and make a speech and answer questions.
So at this point in the proceedings, Kelly Story, the Director of Substance Abuse Inpatient Rehabilitation, turned things over to Marty Cahill, the CEO of Samaritan Lebanon Community Hospital, and we enjoyed a question and answer session. You'll hear KGAL's Charlie Eads asking many great questions. About the time I was going to ask a question, Charlie popped up and asked the question I was thinking of, or several times a better question than what I was thinking of. So here's the question and answer session with Marty Cahill, and that will pretty much finish our tour.
So one of the questions I did hear when we were walking around is, when are we going to have our first patient? And that's going to be a moving target for us. As you can see, we're ready. We've got the staff, we've got the building, we've got the facilities, we're ready to go. There's a couple things that are standing in our way. I'm not sure if you've heard of it, but it's COVID-19. That's holding us up a little bit right now. And the other piece of it is when the governor will then give her decree as to when we can start to reopen healthcare and the economy. So we'll have to wait for that to come into play. And then the final piece that we're going to have to wait on too is we've got our infectious disease doctors, Dr. Muth, Dr. Sugat Patel, and we've got Adam Brady. So we've got those three folks. They're going to tell us when we can open up as well. Putting 16 people in these quarters here with COVID going on, we could just end up with something like the VA. We could end up with a very close quarter, folks all becoming infected with each other. So again, we'll wait for the governor to give her direction and guidance. We'll then wait for our ID docs to give us their direction and guidance, and then we'll open up. So again, it's not a lack of desire on our part, nor is it a lack of need in the community. It's just not a prudent thing to do right now. And so the one nice thing was to try to get you folks in today, let people see what we have, make sure that they know where their dollars went, their donations went, and that we're ready to do business when we're allowed to, and we feel that it's safe for our employees, our staff, and for the residents that we'll be taking care of. So,
what about the outpatient part of the model?
Yeah, the outpatient part of the model is still going on. I've got Dr. Hindmarsh here, and I've got Kelly Story here. They're continuing to provide services in the outpatient world. You can ask them about those services, but they're ongoing right now. I think I don't want to speak for them, but we're taking care of some fairly sick people in the outpatient world that could benefit from this facility. But again, we're trying to take care of them. I'll pass it off to them.
This facility has not yet been incorporated into that service that you're providing.
Not yet. Not sure. Marty and I talk about that weekly. We are.
I'll go on to that. This facility here right now, when you look at the opportunity or the potential for a surge, this is a self-contained building that we could put 16 people in. It has, if you've been through it, restrooms, kitchen, it's self-contained. Could this be used for staffing for folks that don't want to go home because they're treating COVID patients? Could this be a place for nursing home patients to come who test positive? This is a resource that could be utilized in the face of COVID right now, and to turn it into to turn it over to the program at this time might not be in the best interest of the utilization of this building until we really get through the COVID issue and the COVID concerns. And that's when potentially at least the outpatient side could open up to 2,000 square feet at the end of the building there. Mm-hmm. I think once we get through and we're confident that we're not going to see that spike surge, we could potentially start to turn that 2,000 square feet into the outpatient services that it was designed and made for. But a caution is the best part of this right now. And I want to be very cautious to make sure that we don't need this resource. Again, we have the hotel that's been closed for a couple weeks now. That's another resource. Again, I just want to be mindful that we hold on to these resources appropriately until we get through this COVID time, and then we can start to hand it off to off to the programmatic part of this. And I think we're probably closer to handing it off to the STARS program than we're going to need it for COVID. But in the next couple of weeks, I hope that that's true, that we really have plateaued on the COVID issue. We'll watch that for a week or two, and then at least turn the outpatient side of it over to the outpatient folks so that they can provide the services that are so desperately needed in this community, and give them a place and a hub to really start to do that.
Marty, you said residents. Yeah. Are they residents? Are they clients? Are they patients? What's the term going to be for the people that are being served?
I turn it over to Kelly. All of the above, maybe?
So I look at my literature and I have got to get this consistent, you know? Because some of my literature says residents, then it says patients. They're guests. I mean, they're residents. I mean, what matters to me is that they're treated well. that's really all that matters to me. I don't, as long as we refer to them respectfully, that's all that really matters to me. It's language, you know, that's the most important piece about language to me is that we just refer to them respectfully.
Is it a lockdown facility?
It's not a lockdown facility. I mean, people aren't going to be able to come in once we lock it, you know, in the evening and stuff, but they're free to leave.
They can walk out.
They can walk out. They're adults.
We will all be locked out.
They will not be locked in. They can walk out of this facility 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They're not, no one is confined here, but what you will see is the doors will be locked to the public, generally speaking. We will not be able to wander in.
What's the age range of the potential guests?
18 and older. There's just a whole lot of complexity to adding adolescents into the program. And I think right now, the one thing that we've promised this community for the last 3 years is that we would set up a residential program that would meet the broad base of our patients and residents of all three counties. And again, starting at 18 years of age and older is an area that we feel very comfortable and confident that we can provide evidence-based medicine practices and services that will get a great outcome. Is there a possibility we can get into adolescence sometime in the future? Sure. But the one thing I want to make sure that we do really, really well is open this program up, open this building up, and get it on an even keel, practicing evidence-based treatment and getting great outcomes.
Younger folks are being treated, but as outpatients, I assume.
We don't treat adolescents. Milestones treats adolescents. Right now, I have not written a letter of approval for adolescent treatment. That even in the outpatient world, that's a whole different ball game. It's much more. You have to have your level of staffing and everything has to be at a whole different level. So
where do they go to help? Then?
Milestones in Corvallis.
Milestones.
Yeah, Milestones does adolescent treatment.
And the one thing we want to
and Lynn
sure,
County.
Yeah, Lynn County. The one thing I want to make sure we don't do is duplicate services that are already existing. Yeah. The residential program has not existed in this community for a long time. So this was the promise we made, and this is the promise that we've come through on and fulfilled. So that's where we are today. I'm providing those services for those folks.
As far as outpatient services right now, we are providing telemed services, Dr. Highmarsh's, as is me and my staff also are. We are still doing some direct service in the office for people who are really high risk and vulnerable. We're being incredibly careful. We have a large group room that we use. We are disinfecting, we are using precautions, but there are some really vulnerable patients that are just like, I really need to come in, I really need to see you. I have one gentleman who says, this is my sanctuary, I have to come, I have to be here. So, you know, we're being as careful as possible. And we have people who have other health issues that we just have to say, you know, you can't be here, and we're doing telemed sessions, so.
How did the cost turn out? Was it under budget, over budget, right on?
What I'd say to you is that it came in, when we looked at the original budget from 4 years ago, it was a $4 million project. We sat on it for 2 years based on the things that happened within the legislature. So when you look at the cost of coming back online again, it was a little over $4 million. It turned out to be about $4.2 million just based on the increased pricing. But when you take a look at the cost that were increased and then basing it on the budget that was realistic for when we did start construction, we came in on budget and on time. So there was an increase in the budget just based on the two-year wait and the construction costs over 2 years. But based on that number, we came in on time and on budget with the project. Yeah, so it did go up, but it was a schedule to go up, so, yeah. We're good stewards of the funds that we raised.
Has the fundraising been complete?
I would say that from a construction perspective, yes. We've done the philanthropic campaign for construction. The one thing that we've talked about forever is this program is probably going to lose about $250,000 a year. For the foreseeable future. So the idea that we still have a campaign out there for folks that want to donate for the operational expenses, potentially sponsoring a resident or some part of services or underwriting some of the costs of the program. Who knows, maybe setting up an endowment for a doctor so that funds the doctor for being here. Any number of things could happen. We've got our foundation folks. Brandy's here. She could talk to you about those funds. But the idea is right now that the campaign piece is done for the capital. Now we got to now work on operations and scholarships.
And that expectation is based on what you receive in,
correct,
from insurance for patients. And
sure. If you if you looked at our pro forma, we have an 85% occupancy. One might say, why not 100%? But listening to Kelly and what you look at over an annual basis of residents, summertime people don't like to be locked up. They don't want to be in. So there's some, it slows down a little bit. You get around Thanksgiving, Christmas, people don't want to be away from their families. Everything goes gangbusters January when we all make our New Year's resolutions. We're all going to go to the gym and people will maybe start treatment. So when you look at it, we have an 85% occupancy on an annual basis. If you take a look at our payer mix and run that through with Medicare, Medicaid, and commercial, you put all that together and the numbers we can treat, it comes up to probably somewhere in the vicinity of around $250,000 annual operational loss for us. The opportunity where we potentially can make that difference up is if we get involved in drug courts, diversions for DUI, things that happen through the court where folks pay for services. We'll have the expertise to provide those services. We've already started providing those services, and that's an area where we can start to increase our revenue without impacting this day-to-day services, but have classes for folks that are mandated to have classes. So there's opportunity for us to start to make up revenue in other areas. But again, when we look at strictly the operations of what we're going to do in the substance use disorder field and in the outpatient world and in the inpatient world combined together, it's generally about $250,000 loss. Just based on the pro forma, numbers are pretty easy to figure out on occupancy and reimbursement.
Yeah.
Any other questions for us?
Okay, let's see the rest of the building.
You're listening to a media tour that we're turning into a radio tour here on KGAL of the beautiful new facility for STARS. STARS stands for Samaritan Treatment and Recovery Center. The facility is called the Barbara and Larry Mullins Center to recognize donor and former Samaritan Health Services CEO Larry Mullins, a 16-bed residential facility in Lebanon that will serve adults 18 and older with serious substance abuse disorders. Kelly Story, the Director of Substance Abuse Inpatient Rehabilitation, took over the tour once again and showed the media members that were on the tour the remaining portions of the building.
So this is our outpatient area. We have two, possibly three group rooms. This is the Jimmy K group room. Jimmy K was the founder of Narcotics Anonymous, which was founded in the 1950s. After people realized that people who are addicted to drugs were having a harder time in Alcoholics Anonymous, he founded Narcotics Anonymous. So this is our larger group room, which can be turned into two group rooms. We have a HIPAA-compliant wall that comes across. Our goal someday is to not only have outpatient groups running, but also have medication-assisted treatment groups running, where one of our doctors will also be in groups with counselors. Which is what we did in Maine where I worked, and it's a very effective model. This is our smaller group room. This is our Dr. Bob group room. Dr. Bob was the co-founder with Bill W. of Alcoholics Anonymous. And if we split those two group rooms, that's Bill W., the Bill W. group room. So this is our smaller group room. And once again, we don't have stuff on the walls yet and things like that, so it's pretty plain looking. So this is our this is the heaviest door in the building. I have no idea why. This is our intake office. My goal at some point is to have what we call a rapid access program, which means that we would, that if somebody comes in, they can get an assessment right away, and that our max waiting time would be 72 hours for an assessment. Right now, that's not where we're at. When I started a program in Maine, our access time was 11 days. It took 11 days for somebody to get into treatment. By that time, we lost them. So when I left, we got it down to 72 hours. And the faster you get people in treatment, the more likely they are to stay. So my goal here is that that we will develop a rapid access program, that when people call, that we'll have walk-in appointments, and that they will be able to get in. So that is my goal. And I have hired an intake specialist. So my goal is that we have enough assessment appointments open and enough of us to be able to do backup assessments where people can get in when they need to. And that we can get them in for an assessment, and we can get them into group right away. And that they may not be able to get a bed in residential, but we'll be able to get them sitting in a seat in group. Because you have about this much window of an opportunity with an alcoholic and an addict, and if you miss it, you've missed that window. So that's my goal long term for the program. I have some other goals too, but we'll keep it at that.
You're administering the opioid program also?
Yep. I oversee, as the director of the MAT program, he's the medical director.
How is that going?
Going very well. It's certainly awkward to do it on the phone at this point, or via a computer screen. So currently what we're doing is our established patients that we know well. We're doing it by telemedicine. Neither Dr. Matthews or myself feel at all comfortable enough to start a new patient on a medication that way. So we will be in the office to meet face-to-face with new patients. So the program's going well. It's important to realize that it's medication-assisted treatment. So the medical role is really to provide medical assistance to folks who are really struggling as they are engaged in a pro-social recovery program. But the key to recovery is the program.
Thanks for listening to our radio tour of the Samaritan Treatment and Recovery Services new facility called the Barbara and Larry Mullins Center. Again, it's at 111 North Main Street in Lebanon. Special thanks to Samaritan for inviting the media to take the tour. And that'll do it for this portion of Valley Talk.
The Laura Gelat Home Team, Keller Williams Realty Midwell Allen, is Oregon's number one real estate team, serving Lebanon since 1992. Now serving Salem and Eugene, principal broker Laura Gelat and her home team have the experience and service you can rely on in your real estate transaction. Call Laura and her home team now. If you're a first-time buyer, seller, or an experienced real estate developer, Laura Gelat has agents available 7 days a week, including Sundays, with their no-pressure approach. Just honest advice and looking after your best interests. Log on to TeamGelat.com.
Attention dog lovers, Soli Stay and Play Doggy Daycare provides your dog with supervised play care, providing an active, socialized, and healthy lifestyle for your dog. With a new spacious lobby, full-service dog grooming salon, dog toys, leashes, high-quality food, and homemade treats, your pooch will interact, learn, and play with other dogs under the close supervision of their trained staff as their honored guest. Your dog will spend the day playing with their new friends in either the big dog, small, or shy dog play areas. Obedience and training classes available. Soli Stay and Play provides exceptional daycare service in a clean, happy environment. And you can watch what's going on. Check out SoliStayandPlay.com. Open Monday through Friday, 6:30 to 7 p.m. 410 Pacific Boulevard Southwest, just south of the Albany Railroad Station. Call for details and an interview. 541-981-2789. Soli Stay and Play Doggy Daycare. They care about your pets.
Hi, my name is Jonathan Hill, owner of Hill Electrical Construction. HEC is a residential and commercial contractor specializing in panel upgrades to generator installations to design builds for residential, commercial, and industrial applications. That little light fixture in the corner that doesn't work anymore, we'll fix that too. Call us anytime, 971-350-8685. 971-350-8685. Find us online at hillelectricalconstruction.com. We work 24/7. CCB 223-488.
Creating a successful online strategy for your business or nonprofit doesn't have to be an uphill battle. Hi, this is Hutch, owner of OneSource Web. We are a full-service agency based right here in Oregon's beautiful Willamette Valley. From registering your new domain name to launching your web portal, we take care of the entire process for you. The services we offer include components necessary to establish a viable presence on the World Wide Web. This includes site design and implementation, search engine optimization, hosting, site maintenance, marketing, and analysis. At OneSource Web, we understand the work you do often requires more hours than you have in a day. You need someone to partner with you who will put your business front and center in the digital world while you continue to focus on what it is you do best. We want to be that partner. Call 1-800-552-1089 or check us out online at onesourceweb.com. That's the number one, sourceweb.com.
On one hand, the coronavirus has brought out the best in us. People across the country are pitching in to help others, from providing protective masks to healthcare workers to simply buying gift cards to support local businesses. On the other hand, some bad actors are taking advantage of the situation to try to defraud people. How can you guard against these virus-related scams? First, watch out for appeals from fake charities. You can find legitimate groups working to help those afflicted from the illness. Also, ignore any offers from products claiming to prevent or cure the virus. When a real vaccine is available, you'll hear about it. And you might encounter offers for risk-free investments that can help you get through this period of market volatility. But all investments carry risk. Stick with a long-term strategy that's appropriate for your needs. Finally, warn your elderly relatives about potential scams. The elderly are always the most vulnerable to fraud. By taking the proper precautions, you can avoid being victimized by scammers. So stay alert. This is Doug Phillips, your Edward Jones Lebanon Financial Advisor. Please give me a call for further questions, 541-451-4000. Thank you. Member SIPC.
Like a beacon in the dark, America's militant moderate is Jim Bohannon. Weeknights on 1580 KGAL.
We are joined by Max Lugavere, who is the author of Genius Foods, Becoming Smarter, Happier, and More Productive While Protecting Your Brain for Life. Max's book is currently a New York Times bestseller, and we welcome him to KGAL.
Thank you so much, Jeff. It's an honor to be here.
Tell us a little bit about yourself, your background.
Yeah, so my background, I was a pre-med student in college, and then I ended up switching to a double major in film and psychology. And you're probably wondering how a guy who double majored in film and psychology went on to write a health book. Well, I ended up getting a job after college as a journalist working for former U.S. Vice President Al Gore. He had a TV network called Current TV, which was in no way sort of a platform for him to, you know, make it about himself. But it was really about telling stories that were undertold, that were relevant in the eyes of young people, that could make a positive impact on the world. And so doing that for 5-6 years out of college, I got to work with some of the best journalists and storytellers in the world, Peabody Award-winning journalists, and a lot of my segments actually went on to garner press. I ended up doing a story on immigration that got me a really great interview on CNN very early on back in the day. And when I left Current to try to figure out where I was going to go with my career at the time, having this broad background in journalism and producing content, in my personal life, my mother started to display the earliest symptoms of dementia. And as somebody with no prior family history of any kind of neurodegenerative disease, it was at once traumatic, but then highly motivating for me to try to do anything I could to understand the myriad of ways in which diet and lifestyle affect moment-to-moment brain function, as well as our predilection for disease. And my unique stature as a journalist and somebody with a you know, media credential gave me the unique ability to reach out to the top researchers around the world to interview them. You know, interviewing was something that I became very good at, to find answers. The fact that I didn't have a medical degree didn't seem to be a roadblock to the answers that I felt that I was entitled to. And ultimately, it's a journey that really has taken me around the world and has allowed me the ability to interview the top researchers who are really ushering in the notion of dementia prevention. I became really interested in dementia as a potentially preventable disease when I realized, shockingly, that most of the time changes begin in the brain decades before the first symptom of memory loss. So I was at this really unique apex where my personal story and the experience that I had with my mother going to some of the top neurology departments in the U.S. and experiencing over and over again what I've come to describe as diagnose and adios, you know, flush up against the fact that I had this unique ability to reach out to researchers and also the skill set that I had in terms of disseminating parsing good quality data from, you know, sources that are probably less credible and asking the right questions and maintaining a skeptical sort of viewpoint of the topic, as well as my 30,000 foot, you know, the ability that I had to really see the entire field objectively and from a distance, gave me just incredible insight into just how the modern world is really, I think, defeating our optimal brain function. You know, Jeff, I talk about in the first chapter of the book that each one of us is heir to the universe's most advanced supercomputer. We each have an incredible, what I call, cognitive birthright. You know, I mean, it's taken millions of years of evolutionary struggle to create the human brain. And here we are. Each one of us has one, right? The problem is the modern world, especially over the past 100 years, has really sort of devolved into an environment where our brains are really struggling to not only survive, but thrive. And this, to me, really struck me as something that was tragic. And what I write about in Genius Foods is all of the best evidence again, based on interviews with dozens of top researchers and my analysis of hundreds of scientific papers, to really give you the tools to help your brain thrive. Too frequently today, cognitive function, a brain working as well as it ought to, is a privilege afforded to the few, whereas I believe that it should be a right afforded to everybody. And so that's the argument that I make in my book.
Do you think that by eating the correct foods, that anybody and everybody can improve the functioning of their brain and their thinking in general?
100%. I mean, we all have different types of intelligence. You know, there's this notion of multiple intelligences coined by psychologist Howard Gardner. So, I mean, we're all good at different things, right? No two of us are alike. But that being said, 1 in 7 younger people today complain of memory problems, and 1 in 6 adults is on or has taken a psychiatric drug. And this, to me, is a sign that we are not reaching our cognitive potential in the modern world. And I think that this is attributed to many things. I don't think that it's solely the foods that we're eating. And I talk about this in Genius Foods. The fact that, you know, we live in a system now where there's a one-size-fits-all educational paradigm, despite the fact that we all learn a little bit differently. The fact that our careers favor specialization, when the human brain really evolved to be multifaceted. And so I think there's a lot of factors at play, but certainly when we look to our diets, you know, diet is related to so many aspects of our health. And chronic disease is something that's just burdening modern society. It's bankrupting modern society. And it's something that's formerly a uniquely American problem, but it's something that we created and are now beginning to export. You look around the world, people are struggling with obesity, with type 2 diabetes, and these are conditions that are largely driven by food. And so in my book, Genius Foods, I look at how the same factors that will make you gain weight and, you know, cause your waistline to expand over time, which is something that I think is very familiar to most people today, also actually affects your brain in very powerful and unfortunately negative ways. So one of the main concepts that I explore in the book, it's a theory that Alzheimer's disease, which is the most common form of dementia, is actually a form of diabetes of the brain. So much so that, yeah, it's shocking. But this is not a notion that I came up with. A group at Brown University actually coined the term type 3 diabetes to describe Alzheimer's disease. And this is a theory, like any theory, to explain what causes Alzheimer's disease. There is no consensus as to what causes Alzheimer's disease. Anybody who tells you that there is lying to you. But one of the major theories now to explain what causes this disease, for which there is no meaningful treatment, is that it's essentially a form of diabetes of the brain.
Max Lugavere is our guest. He's the author of the book Genius Foods, Becoming Smarter, Happier, and More Productive While Protecting Your Brain for Life. Max partnered with an MD. Tell us about Paul and his involvement in the book.
So Paul Graywall is a medical doctor, and he has become my colleague over time. I met him at a health conference, and you know what's so funny is that most people expect medical doctors to be experts in nutrition, but actually very few medical doctors are experts in nutrition. I would say that your average medical doctor is not at all an expert in nutrition, and this is because they get one afternoon on average of nutritional training.
I've heard this before, that it's one of the lesser covered subjects in their entire education.
Yeah, along with exercise, which is kind of tragic considering that exercise and diet are, you know, two of the few truly interventions that have a disease-modifying effect. I mean, exercise and diet have the ability to prevent many of the chronic diseases that we're seeing saddle our world, and yet doctors are undertrained. So, you know, when I met Paul, he's a medical doctor, board certified internal medicine physician, and he went through medical school suffering with something that many people are dealing with today, and that is obesity. He was about 100 pounds overweight, And he realized over the course of his medical training that he wasn't being taught anything to drop the weight off in a sustainable way and really fix his metabolism. And so he essentially had to venture out of his medical school training to learn everything that he could about nutrition and metabolic health. And I was really kind of moved by his story because he ended up losing 100 pounds permanently. And he became a CrossFit aficionado, and he's one of the strongest guys that I know. He's even stronger than I am. And, you know, seeing before pictures of him is really shocking because he was quite overweight. And I was moved by our parallel stories. You know, we both were compelled to become experts in nutrition against all odds. And this is not something that we were formally trained in. I decided to team up with him because, you know, on the one hand, I was really moved by his story. But on the other hand, just in terms of the content in Genius Foods, I really wanted to make it a comprehensive book. And there were areas that I, you know, became an expert in over the course of my journey, i.e. the latest dementia prevention protocols and research surrounding that topic. Those were not areas that were really, I think, in his, you know, expertise. But I wanted Genius Foods to really incorporate areas that I wasn't an expert in. And I saw it as a wonderful opportunity to learn from Paul. And so in Genius Foods, you're also going to get what I think is the best synthesis on the latest information as it pertains to heart disease prevention anywhere in the bookstore. I mean, we have the latest understanding of LDL, you know, which is often considered the bad cholesterol. But I think the truth is a little bit more nuanced than that. And so anybody looking to boost heart health, to lose weight in a way that, you know, you'll be able to lose weight but keep it off, and also improve your metabolic health, and essentially potentially even come off of diabetes medication, you know, Genius Foods is going to provide tremendous insight for you. And a lot of that comes from the fact that I elected to work with a medical doctor who happens to be an expert in weight loss and metabolic health over the course of writing Genius Foods.
Max Lugavere is our guest. Max's book, Genius Foods, and it's available at your local bookstore, or, of course, you can buy it online if you choose. We had our first guest here a little while ago. She said she just bought your book, and I'm pretty sure that was at Think Brain Candy Books, which is in our own town here of Lebanon. But check your local bookstore, check it out. And this book right now is on the New York Times bestseller list. So get a copy for yourself and learn. Now, I've noticed in the book, one of the things you cover first off, right at the start, Max, is how to use the book. That's such a smart idea.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Jeff. You know, I wrote the book to be read, you know, front to back, but I also designed it to be a reference. So I think that, you know, it's a robust book. It's 400 pages, which I think, you know, maybe is going to surprise people. But again, it's comprehensive. I left nothing on the table when writing Genius Foods. And so it's designed to be read front to back. People are going to find it a very enjoyable read. It's actually got some humor in it. There's lots of pop culture references, which people have been appreciating. But I've designed it so that people can skip to any section and go to the index, and, you know, whether you're interested in heart disease prevention, whether you want to learn more about gut health, which is a really exciting area of research these days. I provide that all of that up front because I really want people to get the most out of it. You know, not everybody has an attention span to read an entire book. I get it. So I want people to really take it and use it as a reference while also reading it from front to back. I think that, you know, however you read best, it's, you know, it's catered to you. And also, I think it's worth mentioning that there's an audiobook for Genius Foods, which I narrated myself. So maybe you're more of a listener, you know, maybe you prefer listening to audiobooks. Well, this is one of the few books where the author actually narrated the book. And so I think people are going to get a lot out of that as well.
That sounds like a wonderful thing. I wish that more authors would be able to do that. Some of them probably do not feel qualified, so they hire professional actors to, you know, read their books. But in your case, I'm glad you did yours. And you certainly have the qualifications being a media guy yourself. So you have a website called geniusfoodsbook.com where people can see a free section of the book and get a feel for what it's like. That website, again, is geniusfoodsbook.com. How did you choose what portion of the book you would release for free on that website?
Well, I wanted it, that's a good question. I wanted it to give a sort of overview of the content that they can expect in the book, while also sort of a small taste of why I wrote the book. You know, that is what I went through with my mother and how traumatic and difficult that was. And really whet people's appetite for the content. I mean, you know, there's a lot of information in there, but chapter one sort of has why I think you should read the book, trust what I have to say. And, you know, there's also, I think, today a number of books related to the brain and brain food on the market today. But I really do believe, and granted I'm biased, but, you know, my book is not just a eat more blueberries, eat more wild salmon kind of book. I mean, it really goes into the mechanisms by which these foods actually make your brain work better today so that you can have more energy, less fatigue, less anxiety, less depression, less disease. I sort of compare it to, you know, the fact that for decades people were told that smoking was unhealthy, right? Cigarette smoking. Everybody knows that, but it wasn't until companies started putting pictures of diseased lungs on the cigarette packs that they started to actually move the needle in terms of getting people to smoke less. And so I think in the book, I really illustrate how these foods actually improve your brain function so that people really can see it. And my hope is that after seeing it and really knowing, then it's going to make them be able to act much more, you know, they're going to be compelled to act, I think, much more and actually change their diets. Because dietary change is among the hardest changes for people to make. But I think after reading Genius Foods, at least the feedback that I've gotten is that it becomes a lot easier for people.
Max Lugavere is our guest, the author of Genius Foods. It's available in your bookstore right now or online at your favorite bookseller on the web. And it is on the New York Times bestseller list, so it's doing very well. It's a book that you want to get a hold of, and it will help you to understand why, not just tell you what you should be eating, but tell you why it's going to help you and what it's going to do for you. The question that popped up in my mind a moment ago as I was listening to you, Max, was, what if you're, you know, 40 to 60 years old in that age range and you've lived a vast majority of your life already and maybe have not had the best of habits with what you've eaten? Is it too late to really make much of a difference, or are you already kind of set in what you're doing and these changes won't matter much? Explain that to us if it's ever too late or not.
Oh, Jeff, it's never too late. It is never too late. First of all, I like to remind people that you're always one meal away from getting back on track. So, you know, we tend to, when we have a cheat meal or when we go off the rails a little bit, it tends to kind of like make us very depressed. We feel as though we've had a moral failure. But you're always one meal away from getting back on track. And, you know, I cite research out of the Karolinska Institute in Stockholm, Sweden, where it was a randomized controlled trial. It's one of the most robust bodies of evidence that we have to really say that, you know, our diets and our lifestyles matter when it comes to our brain health, and that cognitive decline is not an inevitable aspect of aging. And this study involved a population that was much older than even 40 or 50. I mean, some of these patients were in their 60s and 70s, and they all had at least one risk factor for developing dementia. And by adhering to a dietary and lifestyle intervention, very, very similar to what I propose in Genius Foods, they were able to improve their brain function by about 25%. So what I tell people is you're never too old, and you're certainly never too young. So that's why I really wrote Genius Foods for people of all ages. I think no matter, you know, how old you are, you deserve a brain that works as well as it should. And that's what you're going to get after reading Genius Foods.
Very good. Genius Foods is written by Max Lugavere. He's been our guest, along with Paul Grewal, MD, who joined with Max in the writing of the book. It's currently on the New York Times bestseller list, and it's available to you in your local bookstore. You can also get it online as well. And that free sample of the book, if you'd like to just take a peek at it first, you can do that at this website, geniusfoodsbook.com. That's geniusfoodsbook.com. Max, it's been a pleasure. I've really enjoyed chatting with you and wish you the very best.
Same, Jeff. Thank you so much.
It's all happening in downtown Albany.
Albany's homegrown Oregon foods, now at their new location, 212 Southeast 1st Avenue, Monday through Thursday, 10 to 5, for mouth-watering probiotic goodness. Take out and now dine in, too. Check out homegrownoregon.com, 541-971-7174.
Barbara Jenkins Income Tax Service at 3rd and Railroad near Willamette Community Church in Albany provides A-plus rated year-round tax planning and accounting services. Start working with Barbara Jenkins and her team today. Call 926-7382, 926-7382.
Visiting Angels care every day in every way. Their home care agencies send caring and experienced caregivers that provide up to 24-hour care in the comfort of your own home. Call Visiting Angels in downtown Albany at 928-2061. That's 928-2061.
It's all happening in downtown Albany.
In order to keep the Lebanon and surrounding community fed during this time of businesses closing, award-winning barbecue, JNC Barbecue and Catering, is open for takeouts, curbside, and delivery. Till further notice, award-winning barbecue. Call 541-258-7510. JNC Barbecue and Catering is open for takeouts, curbside, and delivery. Till further notice. Online at jcwoodfirebbq.com. 940 Main Street in Lebanon, next to Napa Auto Parts.
Do you panic when a pop-up shows up on your screen or your computer shuts down or runs slower? Not me. I use Peak Internet Tech Home Service. For only $14.99 a month, if my computer gets a virus, I can call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. They'll remove it remotely, plus include 250 gigs of cloud backup, Password Genie software, and the best antivirus software on the market. Visit them online at peakinternet.com/techhome.
I drive one of those new hybrid cars, the ones that run on batteries and gas. It's so economical and a great investment. I want my pretty little hybrid car to last for a long time, so I'm taking it into CarCraft Auto Appearance Center, corner of 9th and Hill. Online, carcraftalbany.com. CarCraft offers everything from an express car wash to a complete interior and exterior auto detailing. Electric, gas, or diesel, CarCraft loves them all.
It's just such a blessing to have hospice when people are going through things. The Lumina Hospice representative came in so kind and so ready to make this happen. And she knew what Les wanted to. It was peaceful and it was just the way he would have picked to go. And that helped me have the peace that I had when he passed.
Lumina Hospice and Palliative Care. Compassion, comfort, and support for the ones you love. LuminaHospice.org.
Come into Power Volkswagen of Corvallis now to take advantage of savings and be prepared for all driving conditions with Volkswagen's all-wheel drive Golf All-Trax. Power Volkswagen of Corvallis has the biggest and boldest Volkswagen ever built in the U.S., the Volkswagen Atlas 3-Row SUV, with America's best SUV bumper-to-bumper transferable new vehicle limited warranty. Come into Power Volkswagen of Corvallis now to take advantage of savings. 705 Northwest Buchanan Avenue. Online at bwofcorvallis.com. You'll do better at Power.
What? My favorite Mexican food restaurant is closed?
Not to worry. Taqueria Dos Arbolitos in Lebanon and Taqueria Alonzo in Albany and Corvallis are all open every day for takeout only. Full menu of all that great food you crave, especially in a crisis. Call ahead.
Locally owned and operated, this is the very independent News Talk 1580 KTVA.